that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We depend on you. We need you. We need your wisdom and your strength. We need an unction from on high. May the Holy Spirit empower us and enable us this morning to preach. And Father, we ask that we might be a help and a comfort to God's people. But Lord, above all things, help us to lift up and exalt and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is worthy. We'll thank you for all that you do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are any number of things we could discuss out of that little passage we just read, and it'd all be good because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't get much better than that. Now, I want to borrow a thought from one of those verses this morning. There in verse 10, it said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I want to bring a little message this morning entitled, Why Every Knee Ought to Bow. And they certainly ought to, buddy. If anybody in the universe deserves to have the rest of the universe bow the knee and humble themselves, it is Jesus Christ. Amen. And those of us who are saved by God's grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and our sins are under the blood, and we're headed to the city, we will acknowledge at the drop of a hat, and we'll drop the hat if you want us to, that Jesus Christ is worthy of all honor and praise and glory. Amen? And it's because of him that we live and move and have our being. It's because of him that we have peace and joy in our heart. It's because of him that we have hope for tomorrow. Now, not everybody understands that. Not everybody is saved. And a lot of folks don't know why we're so excited about Jesus Christ and why we're willing to humble ourselves and prostrate ourselves before him, why we're willing to bow the head and bend the knee. But if they ever trust him and find saving grace, they'll know. Amen. And that's our desire, that is every man and woman would hear that story, believe that truth and receive that Savior, that they might one day bow their head in submission to the King of Kings. Amen. The Bible said, God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it is our job and our duty, as well as our privilege and our responsibility, to try and reach as many people as we possibly can with, excuse me, with the old story. Now, I want to give you about 10 reasons this morning why every knee should bow. And some of these you Christians will understand, and you won't have any problem with it. And some of them will fit Christians, and some of these reasons will fit unsaved people. Some of these reasons would fit anybody. Amen. There are just some reasons that the whole wide world ought to bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know they're not all going to. Some of them are stiff-necked and uncircumcised. They are cold and hard, and their mind has been evil affected by the things of this old world, and they're not going to give any honor or praise to Jesus Christ. But we're not going to let that slow us down or stop us. Amen? Just because they're dumb, just because they're cold, just because they're hard, not going to take my joy, not going to take my shout, not going to slow me down. I'm excited about being a Christian. I'm glad that I'm saved by God's grace and on my way to the city. The Bible said, and they that believe shall not be ashamed. And the Bible said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And buddy, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you ought to be excited about it, and you ought to be willing always to give a reason for the hope that lieth in you. So now let me give you these 10 things, and we can go eat that big old Sunday dinner and commit our first sin after confession this morning. Amen? Amen. And let me be the first in line. Number one, why every knee should bow at the name of Jesus Christ? Number one, because He is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse 3 that all things were made by Him. If it exists, it exists because of Jesus Christ. Amen. He made all things, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator of everything you see throughout the vast expanse of the universe. There was a time way back there when it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and the universe was filled with darkness except the light where God Himself resided. And one day God just kind of got tired of it, and I'm paraphrasing now, and He just kind of got tired of it and said, let's do something exciting. And God said, and the other part of the Godhead said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? And the other part of the Godhead said, well, I've been thinking about it. And the other part of the Godhead said, well, I know it. I've been thinking them same thoughts, you know, because they're all one. And whatever occurred to God the Father occurred to God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? That God knew everything from the beginning and nothing ever slipped up on Him? Amen. Now, so the Godhead had a discussion. The Godhead had a discussion with Itself and decided to create all that is. And out of the vast expanse of nothing, God Almighty spoke into existence everything you see today. And everything that you see today is held in place and held together by the word of His power. And say, who was that? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Creator of all things. You ought to bow the knee to Him because He has the power of creation. He has power of sustaining all that He created. I'm telling you, buddy, if you get to looking at it and say, well, what about evolution? Well, what about it? You must be a man or woman of great faith to believe in evolution. If ever there was a practical joke poured out upon humanity, it is the joke of evolution. There is no proof anywhere, by anybody, on any subject, that evolution ever existed or that it exists now. Amen. It is just a dirty, rotten joke. It's something perpetrated on us by philosophers and educators that turn our hearts and minds away from God because they have a moral objection to living right. Amen. They want to be God themselves. And one of these days, their knee will bow and their mouth will confess that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. But we ought to bow to Him because He is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. Secondly, every knee ought to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is God. 1 Timothy 3:16, for God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, that part of the Godhead that took on a human body so that you and I could see and understand and comprehend God. The Bible said, for God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, you have a hard time grappling with things you've never seen. The abstract and the metaphysical, as a general rule, is very difficult for mortal man to pick up on. We like to have things that we can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. Those five worldly carnal senses that we possess, if it doesn't touch one of those, we're not sure about it. We're not sure about its reality or its value. And so God said, okay, you bunch of blockheads, you can't get it any other way. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will come down and manifest myself in such a way that nobody can deny that I am who I say I am. And so God came down and was manifested in flesh and dwelt among us and lived a sinless, perfect life and grew up from childhood and ate and slept and rested and worked and labored and did all the things that mankind do. And He did it in such a way that nobody could deny who He was. He did enough miracles and enough supernatural things that you have to say this must be God because mortal man and natural man cannot do those works which He has done. So He said, I manifested myself to them And they still didn't believe on me. But now they're without excuse. Nobody can look at the life of Jesus Christ, where he came from, and how he lived, and the things he did, and the works that he accomplished, and not conclude that it must be supernatural. It is beyond man's ability to do those things that he did. And the only conclusion you can come to is he must be God. He must be man. He must be the God-man. Amen. And brother, if he's God, then you ought to bow the knee. Not only should every knee bow because he is the Creator and because he is God, you ought to bow the knee because he alone is righteous. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, when you talk about righteous and righteousness, you and I are on thin ice. I have none of my own. I have none. I never pretended to be a pretty good guy. I've never been a pretty good guy. I've always just been wicked as the devil himself. Amen? I mean, you're looking at 198 pounds of gorgeous sin. You see how we dress sin up to make it look good? Amen. But it's not good. Sin is wicked, wicked. It's what brought sin, and sin is what brought death to this old planet. It's why you're going to get sick and grow old and die. There's nothing lovely about sin. And you have no righteousness. The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen? People sitting there say, well, you know, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad. Oh, shut up. That kind of talk just makes God want to throw up. You say, well, you know, I'm just, you look at some folks and you say, well, they're just the sweetest little old lady and they're just so nice and they're so prim. Yeah, and they got a heart just black as a tar pit. Amen. Amen. They say, well, I've never done this and I've never, yeah, but you've done plenty. Amen. And you'd have done some of the other if you'd have had the guts or the opportunity. Amen. There's a lot of things I never did because I didn't get a chance. There's some things I never did because I didn't have the guts to try it. Amen. I just yell it out. But I did plenty anyhow. Amen. The Bible said, well, I preach my heart. There's just something. No, you don't. That Bible said the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God knows how deep and dark the pit in your heart is. Somebody say amen right there. Well, you say it. I'm saying you don't have any righteousness. Jesus Christ alone is righteous. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The only sin he ever knew, the Bible said he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. The only sin Jesus Christ ever knew, the only unrighteousness he ever experienced is what God put on him when he put your sin debt and my sin debt on his back when he hung on Calvary's cross. Other than that, he was sinless and he was perfect in righteousness. People say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm as good as Tommy. Well, good night. Why don't you just pick a low enough target? Anybody be as good as Tommy Stewart. So I'm as good as Tommy. Okay, maybe you are. Now, as far as I know, and I probably don't know near enough, Tommy's a pretty good fella. He's been my lead demon now for years. Deacon. He's been my lead deacon for years. And he lives a clean life. Just married to one woman. And I hadn't caught him drinking, smoking, or chewing or anything. So when I'm saying, as far as I know, he's a good man. And he lives a clean life. Amen? And so I said, well, I'll compare myself to Tommy. I'll be in pretty good shape. That'll make me better than Lewis. Amen? Wrong comparison. You must compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's just me comparing myself to Tommy, just one sinner batting against another sinner. That's not where you weigh it. You mark it off against Jesus Christ. And when you weigh yourself against him, sweetheart, you come up short. He's the only one that's righteous. See, why should the knee bow? Because he's the only righteous being in the entire universe. That's why. But now I borrowed from his righteousness. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Amen. He imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to this old sinner. He looked at me and said, son, there ain't nothing about you good. Everything about you is bad. Everything about you is defiled. Your heart is wicked. Your mind is corrupted. Your flesh is going to die. There's nothing about you worthwhile. Therefore, to make you valuable and to make you of value to myself and the rest of the world, I will give you something of value. I will give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only thing about me worth anything is what God gave me. And I'm here to tell you, sweetheart, the only thing you think worthwhile about you is what God gave you. Take away Jesus Christ and you're worthless. Amen. Why should every knee bow? Because he made himself a sacrifice for us. Hebrews 9:26 said, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, I found myself in a dilemma one day. I found myself a sinner. The Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I found myself a sinner. I found myself without any righteousness. And I found myself incapable of doing anything about it. The wages of sin is death. I'm not willing to make that payment. Amen? Incapable of making that payment. And so here I am. I'm in a dilemma. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If I do the best I can, if I work, if I labor, if I go to church 5 times a week, if I sing all the songs of Zion, if I pray from morning to night, if I give all my money to the poor, if I am faithful to my wife and good to my children and good and kind to my fellow man, if I do all that I know how to do, I still come up short. I'm in a fix. So you know what God did? He became a sacrifice to pay my sin. I was lost without God and without hope on my way to a devil's hell, and rightly so. The judge of the universe had looked at me and found me guilty and hopeless and helpless and condemned without God and without hope, headed to a Christless grave, a godless eternity. And he said, I'll pay the price. I will become a sacrifice. And what he cannot pay, I will pay. And what he could not earn, I will freely give. Why should I bow the knee? Son, I was on my way to hell, and Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, laid down his life for me. That's why. Amen, buddy. I got no problem. I got no problem bending the knee or bowing the head and humbling myself before God Almighty. I know who I was. I know where I was going. And I know what he did. Because he made himself a sacrifice. I'll tell you something else. Why should we bow the knee? Because he is the only Savior. Titus 1:4, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible said there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's called an imperative. We must. You say, well, what about all them fellas that's going over here and falling down to Buddha and Mohammed? They're just getting their physical exercise. That's all they're doing. They ain't getting nothing else. Show me some sinner dead in trespasses and sin that bowed down and prayed to Allah that got up a new creature. Show me one fellow that fell on his face in repentance and prayed to Allah and got up with a new song in his lips. Amen? Show me one fellow that fell down and prayed to Buddha or Mohammed or whoever it was and got up with hope in their heart for tomorrow. How many of those are excited about a resurrection? How many of those are excited about a rapture? How many of those are excited about the streets of gold? None of them. That's the most mournful crowd. The saddest crowd. You know why? They still got their sin, they still got their guilt, and they're still doing their best to work their way through it. None of them have a Savior that can wash away the stain of sin and put joy in the heart and give hope for tomorrow. Not one of them can give you any peace and joy inside.
Where is the assurance of their salvation? They're all hoping to hang on and make it, and if they do their best, and this, that. Listen, I've been saved for 34 years, and I've been resting in Jesus Christ ever since. You know what that Bible said? One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It said, he that hath entered into his rest hath ceased from his own labors. I love that. I love that. So what does that mean? That means I ain't doing nothing. So well, don't you have to live a Christian life to get home to glory? No. Jesus Christ lived the Christian life. And then he gave it to me. He saw mine. Mine was a wreck. Mine was a mess. I'm not going to make it. Amen? I just not. So he said, I give you my life. I give you my righteousness. So when God looks at me, he looks through me at me through the blood of the Lamb, and he sees the sinless, righteous life of Jesus Christ. If he ever looked at mine, I'd be damned. I'd be lost. Amen? No, sir, everybody. I ain't about trying. Listen, there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. You say, well, you mean the rest of the world is lost? Yes, they are. That's why it is so imperative that you and I get out and work and labor and tell the story. We are the only mouth that God has in this present evil world. If I don't talk, if you don't talk, if we don't pass out tracts and witness to folks and invite folks to church, they will never hear. So all them other folks think they're right. I know it. They said, well, y'all think y'all right. I know it. Well, how do you know which one's right? It's easy. You ever think about that? I'm going to digress. It's not in the mess. I'm going to throw this in. Did you ever wonder how we know whether we're right or they're right? I mean, they got their holy book, right? They got the Shastas and the Vedas and the Koran and all that stuff, and you got a Bible. Amen. They got their religion and their faith. You got your religion and your faith, right? How do you know which one's right? That's a legitimate question. How do I have the gall to stand in the pulpit and say, all them Muslims are wrong. All them Hindus are wrong. All them Buddhists are wrong. We got the truth and everybody else is wrong. It's us and nobody else. How in the world do you have the courage to say that? It's easy. Here's how you do it. You look at their religion and our religion. You look at their converts and our converts and see which one is different. My religion took an old drinker and a cusser and a swearer and a profane person and cleaned him up and made him a brand new creature and took the bottle away and took the bad language out of his mouth. And here's a fellow who never had any peace and never had any joy, whose whole life was filled with cynicism and sarcasm, who was skeptical of anything and everything and anybody and everybody, and gave him peace and joy. Now, when their religion starts doing that for their converts, then I'll start to worry about mine. Amen. You trust the one that gets the job done. It's easy. Just look at the result of the conversion. That's why I stay on you folks all the time, to live right and talk right and act right. Because the world needs to see that it works. Wherever I'm at. He's not only the only Savior. You ought to bow the knee because of what he forgave you. The Bible said in Matthew 9:6, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now, Paul said about 1,900 years ago, somewhere around in that neighborhood, that he was the chiefest of sinners. Well, that was a little premature, Paul. I hadn't come along yet. Amen. How many of y'all feel that way? Amen. I'm going to tell you something, son. I have no illusions. I deserve to die and go to hell. I worked hard for it. I blasphemed God and cursed God and ridiculed God and tried to turn people the other direction. I was a most wicked individual. If anybody deserves never to see the grace of God or the mercy of God, you're looking at them. But God, in love and mercy, reached down that mighty hand of His and picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock and established my goal. He saved me. He saved me. And if you're honest, that's what He did for you. Now, you say, might not have committed the same sin me and Lewis did. But you've got your own little list, and I guarantee there's enough to send you to hell. Amen. Buddy, every time I think about what God forgave me, what I did in the first 27 years of my life before I got saved, but it's enough to make you want to fall on your knees and bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Say, why? Because I was a wicked man, and I deserve to die and go to hell. Why God decided to extend grace and mercy to me, I have no idea. But you can't figure that out with God. God's not willing that any should perish. He'll take the very worst of us, the most vile of us, and save us and wash us and clean us up and make us into a brand new creature. How in the world could you be saved by God's grace and not be ready to fall on your face and say, thank you, Lord? How in the world can we find it hard to sing and shout? How in the world can we find it difficult to give Him praise in the congregation? How in the world can we find it hard to confess that we're a Christian out in the world? Look what He forgave you! Not only that, we ought to bow the knee because of what He forgave us, but we ought to bow the knee because of what He gave us. John chapter 10, verse 28. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. And they, now this is the best part. You thought getting eternal life was the best part, didn't you? There's a topper. And they shall never perish. I love that. If that don't excite you, son, your exciter is broke. It's one thing, you know, them charismatics, I mean, they get eternal life. But they're scared to death all the time they're going to lose it. Their joy is never full. You know why they got to jump up and down, get slain in the spirit and talk in tongues and all that nonsense? They're trying to fill up that hole that God gave us when He gave us eternal security. Amen. But when I got saved, God said that I give. They don't buy, they don't purchase, they don't earn, they don't deserve. And I give unto them eternal life. Present possession. I'm not waiting to get it. I got it right now. The eternal life of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost flow through the veins of this mortal man today, not tomorrow, not at the judgment seat. Right now, I'm a child of the King. Amen? Amen. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, I am a son. Amen. Ain't nothing me or you or the devil can do to undo it. Now, I know I could preach a whole message on losing rewards and punishment and chastisement and all that, but I'd still be saved. Amen? I am His young'un. You say, well, you're a disappointment. You're right. God only knows I'm a disappointment to me. I often think that somebody that's been saved as long as I have and had the opportunities I have and as smart as I am ought to have done a lot better than I've done. Some of y'all got to have a sense of humor here. I got enough done for God. Haven't got near enough done for Jesus Christ. Amen? Hadn't gotten near enough. I'm thankful I got some. Amen? I'm glad He loved me to save me anyway. I'm glad He forgave me anyway. And I'm glad He gave me eternal life and said, come hell or high water, win, lose, or draw, I've adopted you into my family. It's a legal transaction, and no power in heaven or earth can separate from you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now listen, you got to remember, it ain't loving me because of me, it's loving me because of Him. Amen. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. He loves me because of His Son. Now why His Son loved me is still a mystery. But he did. And He loves you. Amen. And if you got saved, I talk to folks in the prison and stuff all the time, you know. Well, I used to be saved. Well, I was saved once. And I think every time, well, you either were or you weren't, son. Because you either are or you ain't. Amen. Amen. It's not He loves me, He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not. It's not you're in, you're out, it's up, it's down, it's hot, it's cold, it's black, it's white. It's hot. It's not like that. You're either saved or you're not. And if you are, it's eternal life. It's not probationary life. It's not on trial life. It's not test it and see if you like it life. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never. What part of that word do people not understand? One syllable. You ought to get it. Not only should we bow the knee because of what He forgave and because of what He gave, we ought to bow the knee because of what He's going to give. Amen. Now we're getting to the good stuff now. Boy, I like to get down long in here. We ought to bow the knee because of what he's going to give you. In Philippians 3:21, he said, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" Now, I must confess that when the Lord gives me my new body, there won't be a great deal of work need to be done. He just made this one pretty near perfect when he done it, you know. But with age and time, it's probably going to need a little tweaking. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning, I was getting dressed, and I thought, "Lord, have mercy." I stand in the pulpit and all them people look at me. That must be awful hard. I appreciate y'all's grace and goodness. This old body, boy, it's almost 62 years old now. I know it doesn't look, I know. Some of y'all are shocked when I said that. Almost 62. November will be 62. And it's got these age spots. And it's sagging. And I got arthritis in those two middle toes, and I got arthritis in them two fingers, and they just ache and throb all the time. I get up 4 or 5 times a night and do exercises for my heels and my ankles because my muscles just tie in knots. It wakes me up. I can't half see anymore. Played golf yesterday, and every time I hit a ball, well, for one thing, I hit it so far. They have to tell me where it landed because I can't see it anymore. And when they tell me, I say, "What'd you say?" I can't hear good anymore. See, what I'm saying, this thing slowly but surely falling apart. Amen. Falling apart. But one of these days, he's going to give me a body like unto his glorious body. And it will never hurt. Amen. And it will never age. And it will never decay. Amen. I'm going to get me a body like unto him. Listen, I ain't even talked about being able to walk through walls and go all the way from heaven to earth and back in a matter of a couple of hours. I didn't talk about that super outer space speed where you can get in the spirit and go from earth to heaven and back in a flash. We ain't talking about that. We're not talking about when he appeared with the doors being closed, walking in and out the wall. We're not talking about when they saw him and he changed his form. And I ain't talking about none of that stuff, see? I got a series of tapes out there called The Far Side. If you want to hear about all that wild and woolly stuff in the Bible, how you get sucked up through the vacuum and all that stuff, and how you get that body going, there's a set of tapes out there for $39.95. You can get that. But I'm not going to talk about all this. I'm just talking about getting a new body that won't be sick, that won't get cancer, that won't ever need to go to a doctor. Do you know that in heaven all the physicians are out of a job? All the grave diggers are unemployed? And all the real estate in heaven is used for golf courses? There is no place for graveyards up in heaven. Amen. I'm going to get me a body. Listen, you're talking about every knee shall bow. Well, oh, I'm not going to bend. Boy, I am. I'm excited about it. I'm glad to be able to do it. I'm thrilled to death that I can say, "Father, I'm glad I can bend my knee and give honor to the one that saved me. I'm glad that I've got some things to look forward to, like that new body." I'll tell you something else. We ought to be willing to bend the knee or bow the knee because of what he has prepared for us. The Bible said in John 14:3, said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again." You ever read your Bible and look for all the positives? I mean, the things where God says something will be so. He said, "I go." Positive. Amen. For what? Prepare a place. He's not just up there sitting back drinking lemonade and in a rocking chair. There's the universe's the biggest, most expensive, the most complicated, most complex, most astounding construction project that's ever been known has been going on there for 2,000 years because God manifested the flesh, went back to glory to prepare a place for all those that would receive him as Savior. Amen? Now, I'm hoping they're getting ready for a walkthrough. Amen, buddy. You know, you build a new house, you get it all done up, and they have that CO or whatever it is. You have that little walkthrough where everybody goes through, and they get what they call a punch list. You know, you got to fix this little piece of trim and fix that little piece of paint and all that. I think we're right there. Amen. Because the next step is move in. Amen. You call Allied Van Lines. They load all your scratched old furniture up, take it down there and put it in that brand new house, back up in that driveway, and all the neighbors are standing around looking and gawking to see what kind of junk you got. So you stack it up as quick as you can in the garage so nobody gets a look, and you put the garage door down and put it out, you know. Amen. I'm looking for the moving truck. I want to take this old beat up, dinged up body and this old dirty mind and this old wicked heart and put it in a brand new case and move it into a brand new house and never be tempted again. Amen. Looking forward to that. Amen. Tell you why you ought to bow the knee. Because he's the king. Amen. And royalty deserves your respect. Amen. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, he's not just a king.
Amen.
Remember over in Matthew chapter 1, I think there's 28 names listed there, and you get down there and it's talking about, and it's naming all the kings of Israel, and it said David, the king. He's the only one God ever really recognized. Amen. David was the king. He's the best king Israel ever had. First one that God chose himself. He's David the king, but he's not king of kings. He's just a king. Herod was a king. Caesar was a king. My wife treats me like a king. But Jesus Christ is King of Kings. What does that mean? That means that every king and every prince and every nobleman, everybody of power and authority and rank, one day will say, He is the King of Kings. He is above all and ahead of all. He is Lord of Lords. Everybody is subject to Him. Everybody is second place to Him. The most exalted, the most venerated, the most powerful, the most beautiful, the most righteous being in the whole universe is God. Gladly, gladly proclaim Him as our Savior. He's not just a king, He is my king. Amen? He's my king. He's not just a Savior, He is my Savior. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. Number 10, every knee should bow because He is the judge. John 5:22 said, For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. Acts 10:42, the Bible said, It is He which was ordained of God to judge the quick and the dead. And Revelation 20:11 said, And behold, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books. And whosoever name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone day and night forever and ever. Who sits on that throne? Jesus Christ. Today, He will be your Savior. Today, He will forgive you for any sin and all sin. I don't care how wicked your life has been. I don't care how vile and reprehensible the things are that you have done. I care not how long you have done them. I care not who all you have defiled with your wickedness. I care not how wretched and miserable your heart is. God Almighty today will forgive. He died for the sins of the world, and that includes yours. Tomorrow, He's the judge. Tomorrow there is no mercy. Tomorrow there is no forgiveness. Tomorrow there is no fixing it. You leave this world without Jesus Christ, you are damned forever. Whichever way the tree falls, there's where it lies. Is it false to the north or to the south?
or to the west, whithersoever it falleth, there it remains. You pass out of this world lost, you will spend eternity lost. Pass out of this world saved by God's grace, and you spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Brings us to point of decision. Have you bowed to me? The Bible said if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. I judged myself. I found myself a sinner. I found myself wicked. I found myself deserving of hell. And I fell on my knees at 25 minutes after 11, March the 4th, 1972, Lock 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, United States of America, planet Earth. I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And on my knees with my head bowed, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, saved me and washed me in the blood of the Lamb. You either bow now and find a Savior, or you bow later and you find a judge. Whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. It's one or the other. People say, well, there's a lot of choices. No, there are two. You choose Christ or you reject Christ. That's the end of the list. That's all there is. There are no other options. It's heaven or hell, saved or lost. It's Christ or no Christ. Have you made your decision? Let's bow our head. Miss Jordan, would you play for me this morning, please? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, I'm not talking about that little profession you made at Daily Vacation Bible School, or that little thing you felt pressured into when somebody visited one time, or something you felt coerced into by the preacher. I'm talking about that time when you came to Christ with a heart heavy with sin and a soul burdened down with perishing and the sight of hell, the smell of the smoke in your nose. Has there come a time when you came to Christ sorry and repenting? The world makes light of that being born again. But the truth is, the Bible said you must. You must. It's called the gospel imperative. You must be born again. If you don't receive Christ, you will die without Christ and spend eternity in hell. Why don't you come this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved by God's grace, but you couldn't prove it to the world. You lost your joy and your victory. You've lost your burden to be an example and a testimony. You've lost your burden for lost soul. Maybe you ought to come this morning and say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. But I ain't much good for God right in a minute. I want to get that thing fixed up. Why don't you come on? Why don't you come? Today's as good a day as any. Matter of fact, it might be better than some others. Why don't you come? Amen. Folks, you coming. Oh, folks, listen, there's a world out there lost without God and without hope. And they're not going to see God on the television. They're not going to read about God in the newspapers and the magazines. They're not going to hear about God in their music. If they don't find out about God from us, they're just not going to find out. If we don't tell the story, it won't get told. If they don't see it in us, it won't be seen. Let's not be complacent. Let's not be cold. Let's not be without feet. Why don't we get on our knees? Bow the knee. Give what's left of our life and our time and our energy to serve Jesus Christ and warn a world of the wrath.